The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 3 on this special day, special week. Today we're going to talk about the pillar of service. So I've entitled my message just real simple this morning, Being a Servant, Being a Servant. Micah did a great job. And I leaned over to Dr. Atkins. I said, I don't know if I can top that, but I'll do my best. But his thoughts were right parallel with what I'm going to speak on today. Acts chapter 3, we're going to read a narrative here at the beginning of this chapter that really helps us to focus on this idea of service. When I study, or if I'm grading, or if I'm preparing a message, I like to have music in the background. And usually I have a Spotify list playing. And so last night I went home and just sat down in my study and began to prepare thoughts for this message today. I had some things going in my mind and had some things written down on paper, but I just put it all together last night and I hit my Spotify playlist, and The Final Account by Ben Everson came on the playlist, and I would like to read to you, I'm not going to sing it, but I would like to read to you the words of this great song by our friend Ben Everson. And must I be to judgment brought and answer in that day for every vain and idle thought and every word I say? Yes, every secret of my heart shall surely be made known. And I want you to listen to this phrase in the chorus. And I receive the just reward for all that I have done. I'll read the second verse. How careful then ought I to live, with what religious fear, who such a strike account must give for my behavior here? Yes, every secret of my heart shall surely be made known. And I receive the just reward for all that I have done. I know that thou standest at the door. Oh, let me feel thee near. You have made my peace with God before I at thy bar appear. And then I'll read the chorus again. Yes, every secret of my heart shall surely be made known, and I receive the just reward for all that I have done. We are going to be rewarded one day, students, for the work and the service that we do for the Lord. And as that song began to play on that Spotify playlist, I stopped and my heart was stricken. And I receive the just reward for all that I have done. Now, this may sound a little weird to you, but I stopped and I just told the computer to just play the song over and over. And for like 2 hours last night as I was studying, I just played that song over and over. Because I wanted to be reminded as I was preparing this message and just putting some thoughts together on paper, and as I was praying, I wanted to be constantly reminded that everything I do will be rewarded one day. And I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I hope that's your prayer as well. Acts chapter 3, when we come to this narrative in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we see Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And as we see this event in their life that was not uncommon for the Jew, which usually prayed three times a day at the temple, here we see them at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour coming, and there was a man at the gate. And he had placed himself at the entrance of the temple. Many of you know the story. And this lame man cried out for help. And I want us to read our text today, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and I'll read down to verse number 11. Please follow along. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. In this passage of Scripture, we see a demonstration of what I believe service looks like. And it is clear today that God wants us to be servants for His honor and for His glory. What are these observations? Well, I want to focus on three observations about service today that I hope will challenge you, inspire you, and encourage you to be a servant and participate in Christian service. Dr. Shoemaker did a great job yesterday in chapel dealing with the subject of unity. And he mentioned yesterday in chapel how our Christian service numbers are up over the last 5 years. What a testimony to you, student body, for the amount of you that are going on service, Christian service, on a weekly basis. A couple of weeks ago, I was here. I found myself here on a Saturday morning. I had forgotten something in my office, and I was doing some work at home. So I ran up to the campus, parked my car by the AC building, got on the elevator, went up, got what I needed out of my office, got back in the car and was headed off campus. And I saw all these kids everywhere. Just, there was a fury of activity. And so I stopped one of my students and I asked him, I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, Mr. Ward, everybody's going on Christian service." And it dawned on me, I just wasn't thinking clearly on that Saturday morning, but it dawned on me to see all these students gathering together, getting in cars, going places, getting ready for Christian service was an encouragement to me. So let me challenge you with these thoughts, and I want to close with an illustration that I think will help wrap it all together. As we think about service, I want us to think about ministry, and I have a quote from Warren Wiersbe that I think will go on the screen here. Warren Wiersbe said this, "Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God." It's a great quote that Warren Wiersbe penned many years ago. Let me read it again. "Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God." When we think about our service, this statement really capstones what we're trying to give you and trying to help you understand about ministry. As we look at Acts chapter 3, we see three observations about service that I want to draw your attention to. Number one, and Micah pointed this out in his devotional. Number one, our service demonstrates God's power. Listen, if God is calling you to Christian service, or if God is calling you to a specific area of service, He will enable you and empower you to do it. Look again at the narrative that I read, particularly in verse number 6. Peter said to the lame man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Peter came in Jesus' name. He came demonstrating the power of God in this situation. By the way, only Jesus and Jesus only could have healed this man. And that's exactly what we see in this story. Verse number 7, I love verse number 7. The Bible says, Peter and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's a demonstration of the power of God. God can lift us up out of the pits of despair. He can lift us up out of our own self-pity. He can lift someone up out of a life of sin and plant their feet on the solid rock and see their life changed. And you and I have a great opportunity to be part of influencing people for Christ as we serve others and share the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, Paul is writing and he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Our service demonstrates God's power, and it must be present when we do serve in whatever areas, ministries that God is calling us to do. I grew up my teenage years. Some of you that have had me in class have heard a little bit about my testimony. My mom and dad live in this area. I grew up about an hour from here. I went to public school all my life. Came here as a freshman right out of high school in 1989. And came here, went to public school, K through 12th grade, graduated from one of the largest public high schools in this area. But at 16, 17 years old, God began to stir my heart. I was active in a really good church in this area, and God began to deal with my heart about full-time Christian service. And I'll never forget, the year was 1987. I was probably 16, maybe 17 years old, and we had a revival meeting at our church. And at that revival meeting, I surrendered my life for full-time Christian service. Now, I understand that God doesn't call everyone in that way. But when I came here in 1989 as a freshman, I had no problem doing Christian service. You say, "Well, you were pastoral, you had to do it." I understand there's an element there for some of you that are in pastoral missions, youth ministry, you have to go in Christian service. But I wanted to go. And it wasn't because I was a student here at PCC. It was because in 1987, as a junior in high school in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, about an hour from here, God got a hold of my heart. And as Dr. Shoemaker said yesterday, just in a wonderful way, when our heart changes and when God gets a hold of our heart, our view of ministry and our view of service changes. We must have the power of God in our life when we serve. Not only does God demonstrate his power through service, but secondly, as we look at our text here, our service involves individual preparation. Look again at our narrative, verse 8. "And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." The lame man was changed because of the obedience of two, Peter and John, following God's call. It was no accident, students, that Peter and John was at the temple at this specific time of day, in this specific location, to fulfill a specific call that God had placed upon their life. The lame man was changed, verse 8 and 9. The world, number 2, was amazed, verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. When we serve others, whether in Christian service, back home in our local churches, Wherever God leads us, here on campus in the Pensacola area, when we serve others and we do it in God's power and we do it according to His will, people will take notice. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We need to be influencers in our world for the cause of Christ. This lame man was changed, the world was amazed, and God was glorified. I want you to look down. We're not going to read the whole story here, but I want you to look down at verse number 12. Because after this incident, Peter preaches, and Peter gives this great sermon, and it's recorded for us in the remainder verses of chapter 3. And look at Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Look at verse 13. Peter reflects praise back to God. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Peter glorified God. And when we serve, all service and all praise and all glory goes to God. So our service involves individual participation. And in that call that God places upon our heart, we can serve with power and we can reflect and give God the praise. And then lastly, number 3, our service results in a visible declaration. I've already alluded to it just now. But after this event took place, Peter preached. Many were amazed by what God had done. Our service should and can produce boldness. Verse 12 through 26, read the sermon that Peter preaches. It's a sermon of boldness. It's a sermon of power. Even the religious leaders misunderstood him. Chapter 4, if you continue to read, and persecution took place upon Peter and John, but nonetheless, they pressed forward. And I think about our world today, and I think about the cry that people have and people are giving in our world today. The world is crying for answers. And as we serve, and as we demonstrate service, as we demonstrate God's power, we can give the answer. I want to close today with an illustration. Years ago, when I pastored in Indiana, I had a Harley. And a lot of you know, some of you know this, some of you don't know this, but Dr. Phillips and I have been friends for probably 20 years. And when I was pastoring in Indiana, he was pastoring near Orlando, Florida. He called me one day and said, "Hey, I'm going to drive up to Indiana and let's spend a few days together." I said, "That's great. Is your wife coming?" He says, "No, I'm going to drive my Harley up." I'm like, "You're going to drive all the way from Orlando?" He said, "Yeah, and let's go. Let's go somewhere." I said, "Well, where have you not been?" He says, "I've never been to Michigan." I said, "Let's take a trip to Michigan." So Dr. Phillips, myself, Pastor James Johnson, who was pastoring in Indiana about 45 minutes from me. He's a pastor here locally. You can see some pictures of me and my bike there. And I loved my Harley. I sold it. I don't have it anymore. But I enjoyed the trip. I think here's a trip. Here's a trip of, yeah, me and Dr. Phillips. We hadn't changed a bit. I think there's one more. And then there's a picture of Pastor Johnson. Pastor Johnson has changed a lot. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks really good. But there's his wife, Britt, myself. I think I'm in there, Dr. Phillips. We had a great road trip. And there were some Christian guys from our church that went with us. So we went on this road trip. If you notice every picture that you've just seen there, I had a helmet on. When I first got my bike, our boys were little. AJ was little. Some of you know AJ. He graduated last year. My youngest son, my oldest son is Tyler. When I first got my Harley, I never wore my helmet. I didn't have to in Indiana. You don't have to wear a helmet in Indiana. And so I would ride my bike. You know, I was this young pastor. I'm like, yeah, I got the world in my hands. I don't need to wear a helmet. I can do my own thing. And I remember one Saturday, some guys in my church I had several deacons in my church. We all had Harleys. And on a Saturday afternoon, we were going to ride for a couple hours. And I remember pulling the bike around and I let it idle in the driveway there, let it warm up. I went inside. I got something. I don't know what I got, maybe a drink of water. And I said goodbye. And my son, AJ, some of you know AJ, he played on the Eagles last year. He was like 9 or 10 years old. And when he was young, he had such a tender heart. AJ looked at me and said, "Dad, please put on a helmet." And I'm like, "No, I'm good. I'll be gone in a couple hours. I'll be back." He said, "Daddy, please put on a helmet." And of course, my wife is standing there and she's like, "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm." And I said, "I'm good, AJ." And AJ started bawling. He started crying. He's like, "No, Daddy, please put on a helmet. You're gonna die, you know." I'm like, "I'll be okay." But the tears on his face, now watch this, the tears and the cry of his heart changed my attitude. And from that point on, I always wore a helmet. And he was fine with that. And I had a great journey riding my Harley. But I always wore a helmet after that cry. Listen, here's the application. The cry of his heart changed my attitude. The cry of people all over the world should change our attitude and our demeanor when it comes to service. People are dying in need of Christ, and you and I have the answer. Let's take the answer to the cry of their heart, and let's share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.